This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Thursday, January 30, and you're listening to the RCR Daily Brief, your roundup of the day's biggest news. I'm Megan McNamara, and coming up, we'll take you through the latest headlines, followed by some in-depth commentary on the biggest issues making waves this week. Stay with us, back in a moment.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, or even if you don't agree with what you're listening to, then get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057. Or if you'd rather email us, you can at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so get in touch with us now.
And now let's dive into today's top stories.
US President Donald Trump has issued an executive order to end government support for so-called gender transition, cut all federal funding for puberty blockers, and prevent medical insurance programs from covering the drugs. The US government will also recognize only two genders and begin a review of the inclusion of transgender people in the military. Elsewhere, the Queensland government halted the prescriptions of puberty blockers for children in the Australian state after it revealed that a gender clinic in Cairns was prescribing the drugs to children as young as 12. New Zealand's Ministry of Health recently held a consultation on additional safety measures for the prescription of puberty blockers to children with gender dysphoria. In New Zealand news, a story published by The Times of Israel falsely claimed that Israeli military personnel holidaying in New Zealand were asked by customs officials if they worked for the military and if they were involved in war crimes. However, Immigration New Zealand confirmed that no such questions were government policy and that no policy changes had been made. Earlier this week, activist John Minto called for Israeli soldiers holidaying in New Zealand to be harassed. The government will reverse blanket speed limit reductions Wednesday night, starting with State Highway 2 and Wairarapa Upper, aiming for completion by the 1st of July. In line with National and ACT's coalition agreement, NZTA will restore higher speed limits on 38 state highways over 5 months. A further 49 sections will undergo public consultation. The Green Party has called on the Prime Minister and the Speaker to reprimand Ministers Shane Jones and Winston Peters over remarks they made about migrants. During a debate in Parliament, Jones shouted, "Send the Mexicans home," while Peters accused migrant MPs of imposing foreign ideas. Mexican National and Green MP Ricardo Menendez-March described the comments as racist and xenophobic. Turning to international news, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said new media outlets, including podcasters, bloggers, and social media influencers, would now be welcome in briefings alongside mainstream media. The decision was aimed to break the monopoly on information flows and ensure diverse media have direct access to the Trump administration. A leaked UK Home Office review warned of a growing spectrum of extremist threats, ranging from Islamist radicalism and far-right extremism to online misogyny and anarchism. The report urged an ideologically agnostic approach, focusing on harmful actions rather than political beliefs. It also recommended introducing a harmful communications law, sparking concerns over free speech. A series of Russian airstrikes on Ukrainian power stations has nearly collapsed the country's energy grid. According to media reports, repairs will require billions. Meanwhile, Slovakia announced talks with Russia about restarting Russian natural gas exports. Now to RCR Quick Links. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is set for an internal shakeup, with back office staff facing potential job cuts and offshore diplomats being moved around. A bill granting Mount Taranaki and its associated peaks legal personhood is expected to pass into law today. A left-leaning Christchurch political event has come under fire for using Christchurch City Council and Environment Canterbury logos to solicit donations. Fonterra to invest $150 million in electrification projects across the North Island over the next 18 months. Ireland is on a high alert for a mystery virus as cases soar and a stay-at-home warning issued. Several people are feared dead and dozens injured in a stampede at the massive Maha Kumbha festival in India. And Serbia's Prime Minister has resigned after massive protests rocked the country.
Now, for a closer look at how Trump is sitting the cat amongst the pigeons stateside, and also a deeper look at the use of puberty blockers in New Zealand, let's bring in RCR's political editor, William McGimsey.
Trump is really putting the New Zealand government to shame with his recent executive order on puberty blockers, isn't he? He has done more in his first few days to halt their use and push back on the transgender madness than New Zealand's government has accomplished in a whole year. Nevertheless, we still retain hope. The Ministry of Health has just completed a consultation process on further safety measures that should be added to the prescription of puberty blockers to children with gender dysphoria. Thank you to all the RCR supporters who joined our campaign and sent in a submission. This submission process seems like our chance to finally get puberty blockers banned, or at least greatly restricted. Paul Brennan spoke to GenSpeak's Jan Rivers this morning and asked her what the chances are that we're likely to see the New Zealand government take further action on this issue.
Have you got any feeling for if the dominoes are falling, when our one might fall?
I really don't know. I hope for better. But across Europe, in Italy, in France, in Germany, in Denmark, in Holland itself, where this kind of medical regime originated, in every one of those countries there's currently a review going on. There'll be a change of government in Canada soon, and even already Alberta has legislated at a statewide to rein in the medicine. So the change seems inevitable, and it will be a terrible stain on this government that they have allowed more children than was strictly necessary down this road.
And here, Paul asked Jan about the gender dysphoria industrial complex and if the influence it wields might be preventing action from being taken.
Where is the nub of, I'm calling it now, the gender dysphoria industrial complex? It seems to have become an industry. And in the United States, a lot of surgeons, a lot of psychologists are making a lot of money out of this. And I think it's okay to suggest that could be something developing here. Follow the money. But who is it? Is health bureaucrats just a nub or a core of people that are kind of driving this? Or is it more distributed than that, do you think?
It's kind of interesting because we don't have a whole lot of data, but it appears to be the very small minority of gender of GPs who are really behind the prescribing here. A couple of years ago, we knew that there were only 10 in Christchurch, for example, where there would be hundreds of GPs. There are about 6,000 in the country altogether. But I think one of the things that is happening is that we've got a very tight restraint on talking about this. So we've got two things. One of the things is that Stuff Media will write an article about anyone who goes against the false consent on this. And the other thing is that the gender industry activists will mount a vexatious complaint against anyone who puts their head above the parapet. So my obvious solution to this would be that the Ministry of Health makes a statement to the effect that to speak with good conscience on issues of gender medicine is not a matter which should bring any clinician or anyone in the health sector into conflict with their professional associations. That would simply make an even playing field to be able to talk about this without restraint and in an open and a professional way.
Catch the full interview with Jan Rivers on the RCR website or app. Another interesting development out of the US yesterday was new White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt announcing that so-called new media outlets like podcasters, bloggers, and social media influencers would be invited to attend and participate in White House briefings alongside traditional mainstream media reporters. Let's listen to the announcement.
We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House. And you can apply now on our new website, whitehouse.gov/newmedia. Starting today, this seat in the front of the room, which is usually occupied by the press secretary's staff, will be called the new media seat. My team will review the applications and give credentials to new media applicants who meet our criteria and pass United States Secret Service requirements to enter the White House complex. So in light of these announcements, our first questions for today's briefing will go to these new media members whose outlets, despite being some of the most viewed news websites in the country, have not been given seats in this room.
The decision seems aimed at breaking the monopoly on information flows that hostile mainstream media holds and allow more friendly media, with a wider variety of ideological perspectives, to participate in shaping the narrative that emerges from the White House. The two Trump presidencies have brought the political importance of the media into sharp relief. Prior to Trump, it was common for Republicans to gripe about biased media coverage, but none of them really did anything about it. Trump, by contrast, used a new strategy, of firstly going around mainstream media gatekeeping through his use of social media, secondly by delegitimizing the mainstream media itself by branding them fake news, and thirdly by capitalizing on wall-to-wall negative mainstream media coverage. The mainstream media had basically become so unpopular with conservative Americans that the constant negative coverage may have boosted Trump's popularity among them. As a result, we now live in a world where trust in mainstream media is at record lows, and new media, like RCR, is bringing new perspectives to the fore.
Thanks, William. Now let's check in with Natalie, who's been keeping a close eye on some important campaigns and interviews. Natalie, what's been happening?
Hey there, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with your RCR signpost, bringing you the latest interviews, upcoming guests, and ways you can get involved. Kicking things off, we've got Media Matters. It's back for 2025. Marie and Marty have a special teaser for you as they gear up for another season of breaking down the media bias, spin, and the stories that aren't getting the attention they deserve. Keep an eye and ear out for that. Also from Marie, an update on an upcoming interview with Aaron Friday. Aaron is a licensed California attorney and a mother with firsthand experience navigating her daughter's struggle with gender identity. This conversation is part of a larger, ongoing series tackling cultural and ideological issues, an absolute must listen. And tomorrow, my own interview with returning guest Bruce Lipton on the Up Your Brave show is dropping. And if you've heard Bruce before, you know he's always bringing deep insight into science, consciousness, and the power of belief. This is one you won't want to miss. Bruce is also coming to New Zealand, by the way. He's going to do a series of talks, so we will put the information on the website as well. For our Foundation Club members, heads up, this Sunday at 8 p.m., we are hosting our first Backstage Pass webinar of 2025. You can get the inside scoop on RCR 2.0 and what's in store for 2025. Also, don't forget your bites land in your inbox from just after 5:30 each weekday, so check in for the latest updates. And of course, if you want to take action, which we hope you do, the Gene Technology Bill is a game changer, and not in a good way. You can head to genetechgamble.co.nz, download and share the memes and the posters. You can access our feedback template as well to make it super easy, and catch up on the RCR special webinar replays where experts break down what's at stake. Your voice definitely matters, so let's make sure that it's heard. So that's genetechgamble.co.nz, G-E-N-E, techgamble.co.nz. And that is it for me for today. Stay informed, stay engaged, stay empowered, and I'll catch you tomorrow on the RCR Daily Brief.
And that wraps up today's RCR Daily Brief. Thanks for tuning in. Have a fantastic day, and we'll catch you tomorrow with more news and analysis. Until then, see ya.